The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother and Me, an advisor for the modern era. I'm the oldest brother, Justin McElroy, they call me around these parts.
I'm the middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
I am the youngest brother, Griffin McElroy.
I would like to welcome everybody, all of our listeners. This is rare. We don't normally open these doors up, but welcome to the My Brother and Me writer's room.
Sort of a bit of a panic. So if you can envision like a bunch of papers like flying through the air and some like spilled coffee and there's like our interns in the corner like,
I don't know.
And like we started writing on the whiteboard, but we just ran out of room there, so we just started writing on the walls.
Yeah, know? And there's a doomsday clock sort of counting down, and I show up. I'm wearing like a, you know, I got like the Steve Martin arrow through my head. Like, is this anything? And man, we're in the shit.
I'm just gonna come out and say it, folks. We don't know what to do about 420. I mean, there it is, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what to do.
And we fell into this weird kind of valley where it was both like for a long time it felt too far away to plan anything, and now it feels too close to do anything right. And I don't know where the window was. I feel like I missed it completely. Like maybe it was like during the week where we had to put up like one of the live episodes or something, and that was the week we could have planned.
Yeah. We just don't got it, because we could do a bunch of weed jokes. That would be bad, because we haven't enjoyed the kind herb for many, many moons. And, I mean, could episode one of the Trolls 2 podcast that we do technically be episode 420 of Mabimbo? Because I think that was probably all of our last brush with the kindness.
Like, we could rebroadcast?
Yeah, sure, but probably people wouldn't like that. I had an idea where we could do a recap of, like, our favorite Family Guy episodes, but I don't think that that's got the legs to get us all the way.
Like, how do you fucking choose?
Yeah.
That's my number one thing.
And the other thing is just, like, it is still a criminal crime in a lot of places, and so like, wrestling with that is something, because I don't want to make a joke about something that could get me put in the slammer.
What do you guys think about we all do it on mescaline?
Interesting.
What if we do 420 on mescaline?
That could be something.
Now here's my thing about mescaline. I don't know what that is.
Okay. I always picture Jell-O. Is it Jell-O?
Yeah, that's a good point. It could be Jell-O.
I don't actually know what mescaline is.
I have a kind of out there idea. And it might be good enough that we could actually do it. And you guys let me know what you think. Next week, next Monday, people hop out of bed. They load up their podcast app. They wait 5 or 6 hours because there's ain't no way I'm going to get one of these bad boys up before noon. And then the episode does come up and they see episode 421. We skip it.
Yes.
Ooh. We skip it.
I actually
we skip
love
it, and
we skip it until we're ready
we
to pull
back
the perfect
to it.
One.
Oh, I love
when
that.
We have it. And then that'll be great because we'll be in like episode 5, you know, 39. And people next week comes out is episode 420. How exciting is that going to be for everybody when we come back and we're like, oh, wow, they finally fucking cracked it. That's so good.
Griffin, that's an amazing idea. I love that very much.
There's a show that's already gone here before that has crossed this treacherous ravine, and it's Family Guy.
Yeah.
Which did have an had a 420th episode.
Oh, good. What'd they do?
Nope, never mind. It was just an episode called 420. They haven't done this.
I bet that was a good one, though. Fuck.
I bet it was a good one. It was the it aired on April 20th, so it was not the 420th episode.
Oh, man. Did old Quag smooch any bebs?
It's just
did my boy Quagmire smooch any bebs?
I don't know if he smooched any bebs.
All right. I had a dream in which I had beef with Seth MacFarlane, and he dumped some Hannah sanitizer on me.
All right.
I had a dream I had beef with Seth MacFarlane and he dropped some henna tattoos on my hands when I was asleep.
Yeah.
What?
All right. So the next episode that you hear is going to be episode 421. Unless.
We do crack it
in the next week. And then we will remove it from its place unstuck in time, and we'll just knock that shit out. But I find it very, very unlikely that's going to happen. So 421 is the next one. Oh, boy, I'm glad we could settle this.
And listen, don't tweet us your great ideas about what we should do for 420, because then everybody will see them. You got to email them to us, and then we'll do them.
That way we can do it without crediting you.
That will be the ideal scenario. And say, make sure you say at the top of the email, legally property of McElroy Brothers. If you send us an email, we own it, basically. Yeah. If you send us your social security number, you are basically like, we can be you.
All right.
We want to take your life. Can we do, like, you know how they did with the Doctors Who, where they were like, the Doctors Who, remember? They one of them we forgot. So the whole numbers have been all kaflooey this whole time. Do you think maybe we could, like, find some way through an accounting error that we've already released episode 420 and we missed it already?
Yeah.
So it's like in the past and we don't have to stress about it anymore.
I do know how to backdate episodes on Libsyn so that drop into the feed in the middle.
Considering that I get maybe 5 to 6 tweets a day about opportunities for jokes that I missed, really choice nugs, that, like, you know, you should have done this joke, I feel like just releasing episode 420 and making no comment about it would be the excuse to quit Twitter that I've been waiting for.
All right, listen. What if we re-release episode 1 of My Brother and Me, but we just put the opening sort of 8 measures of 311's Amber is the Color of Your Energy over it? But wait, we probably did that for episode 311, didn't we?
I know we did. I don't have the transcript for that handy. Let's just do a regular show this time. We don't have to stress about it right now. What number is this? Travis didn't put it in again.
419.
419, are you kidding me?
God, that's kind of like, man, 420 is really close at this point, huh?
Yeah.
I went to a new dentist's office today. All of my previous dentists have had TVs in the rooms, but this one has none of that. Close to the end of my appointment, because I didn't know where to look, I made slightly prolonged eye contact with the person cleaning my teeth. She stopped what she was doing, sighed, and said, "Can you please not?"
Oh, my God.
No, they didn't. Yeah. I don't believe it. The rest of my visit was super awkward, and I didn't say anything even after my teeth were cleaned. I have to go back to get a filling soon, and I am terrified I will have the same person. Is there anything I can do? What should I do with my eyes? Was I in the wrong? That's from Bad Teeth in British Columbia. Holy shit.
Everyone was in the wrong. I was in the wrong.
I was in the wrong for reading this out loud.
Fuck me. Justin thinks this didn't happen. Justin thinks this is a
I don't believe
fake. Somebody's trolling our forums. But I think I could totally see it. Imagine a hygienist deep in your pearly whites, and you just lock eyes with them the whole time. That's not acceptable behavior. It's not acceptable. But it's also not acceptable to not have, if not a TV playing old episodes of, you know, The Office or something right above you, a baby's mobile just sort of hanging above your head. Something to just sort of attract the eyes. Maybe it's just a small dot that somebody's drawn on the ceiling with a blue marker. Anything to give you a reason to not look into the eyes of my hygienist.
I've never had Dr. Judy Woodruff does not have any TVs at the top of her office. I've never had a TV as long as I've ever had dental work in my entire life. I've never had a TV to look at. No one should. You should have to do like I do when I go to the dentist, which is sit, stare at the bright light, think about how my teeth will outlive me until they too are claimed by time. That is what you should do at the dentist. You don't need to watch old episodes of Fringe or Friends.
Or Fringe.
Well, no one needs to watch old episodes of Friends. Fringe.
You fucked up bad.
You can't go back.
No, you can't go back. The good news is, at least at my dentist, like the dental hygienist is like a specialist they bring in to do, you know, the wet work. And then when it's time to, like, you know, rip out one of my terrible teeth and put in like a monkey's tooth in there, then the dentist steps in. So it should be a different person. But
however,
you
here's
can't,
the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is because I always I go to this very nice dentist here in Cincinnati, and every time I have gone, the person who has, I guess, prepared me for the dentist, who has readied me for the dentist, has been a different person every time. But that said, I also have to imagine they get together and discuss which of us, like, teethers gave them eye contact that day. Like, yeah. It happened again. Who did you get weird eye contact from today? And everyone's going to know. That's all I can assume is, like, I spend so much of my life trying not to make eye contact with people.
Sure.
Like, even people I think I'm supposed to make eye contact with, because I don't want them to see the panic in my eyes of having to interact with another human being and be present with another human being. And so the idea of them being like, yeah, I looked right into his eyes, I saw his soul, he's terrified of everything. Like, I don't want them to know that much about me.
Okay. We need something here, and we need something that is easily sort of reproducible in every dentist office. I want this shit to be as commonplace as, like, and that if you didn't have it, it would be like going to a dentist and they didn't have any sort of anesthetic at all. And you're like, wait, you don't have anesthetic? I'm fucking sorry, you can't come to this one because we don't have drills, or there's no water at this dentist. It needs to be that sort of
sleep
commonplace.
Mask.
Sleep mask might be good. I was thinking, like, cool. Do they make, like, cool sunglasses that have, like, a little screen inside of them, and you can put it on and be in, like, a virtual, not VR goggles, but, like,
why
cool
not VR goggles?
Well, expensive. Cool sunglasses with a little TV.
I've seen these sunglasses you're describing. Yes. Yes, I've seen these sunglasses. I believe they exist.
Like, Doc Brown wears in BTTF 2, where he has the sunglasses on, and they look like cool sunglasses with a TV in them.
And you think those are less expensive than VR? You could get, like, the cardboard and put a phone in it.
All right, fuck. Fine.
I mean, there's no way TV sunglasses are cheaper than that.
Okay, I've got it, folks.
Calm down. He's got it.
Above every dentist chair, there will be live theater. There will be There'll be a live production of The Tempest,
like,
or a funny
like
thing.
In the ceiling?
In the ceiling. All the actors are suspended, and they're doing a funny thing happened on the way to the forum. And you are delighted and transported, and depending on what the procedure is you're getting, if you're just getting a cleaning, they're probably, you know, they're not going to make it to act two, and so they'll get a nice little break. They're like, oh, that's the end of the play, and they'll walk away. And
could we do? Isn't there a more convenient way of doing this? That couldn't you just have them? We're thinking about this all wrong.
Mm.
If you put the performers on the stage, but then you have the tooth person oriented
sideways.
No,
yeah.
You have them oriented sort of vertically, like Hannibal Lecter.
Uh huh.
And just have the tooth, like, get the tooth work. The dentist is loving it because their back was killing them. So they're excited.
So now the dentist is just, you're standing and the dentist is standing.
Everybody's standing.
And you're just having standing dental work.
You're having standing. No, you'll be tied to a stretcher. And the dentist will be like, hey, listen, I've never seen this before. So please do let me know what's happening in it. Because I have not seen it. So if anything really cool is about to happen, please let me know.
Sure. Let me pause real quick. I'll look up from your chompers, and I will watch the sword fight, and then I'm right back in there.
The only other thing we can do is put the live theater inside of the patient's mouth so that the dentist will apparently focus on their fucking job instead of looking into your eyes. You know what I mean? Like, it takes two to tango. So
you're right, Griffin.
Yeah.
Why didn't you? Hey. You should have stopped what you were doing and be like, could you not? Yeah. Why did you look at my peepers instead of my chompers?
Hey, here's actually a very good question. Thank you, Travis. Why don't you look at my fucking teeth? How about that? Since you've got, like, whatever in there, like the thing that they pretend is counting your teeth but is actually scraping them. Since you got that in there, how about you focus on what you're doing?
Let me check.
My eyes are up here, but my teeth are down there where you should be looking.
They're pretty close, and I can't fault you for that. But if you look at my eyes, you will see no holes. If you look in my mouth, it is Shia LaBeouf's holes in there. So,
like, if I went to the eye doctor and I caught him staring at my teeth, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's not where I look from. That's where
I taste.
That's
not your world.
That's where I taste to. So,
stay in your fucking lane.
How about a Yahoo?
Yeah, I love that. Some good ones.
All right. Yahoo user I don't know why I introduced it like that, but it is Drew Davenport. So he does use Yahoo, I think. I would argue he is a heavy user. Level 9,000, yeah, Drew had sent this in. Thanks, Drew. It's Yeah, Drew Answers user. Horsey Girl, 3534. Horsey Girl, 3534. Has 2% best answers. Not very good.
But also not the worst it could be.
2% of the time, she's right every time.
But she has 100% of the best questions, though, because her question is, in the movie Cars.
Uh-huh. I watched this recently. I'm excited about this.
How would the cars have kids? Me and my friend Shelby are watching Cars when she asked this question, so how would they? Now, I know you're probably wondering, is there illustrations of this concept on internet already? And me, Griffin, will say there is, and I'm saying that for you so that you don't have to go and find.
Don't do this.
Because I went and I find a lot, and some of it is cars, some of it is cars peoples. There's one with a plane. In the car, so there's sort of like planes and rescue.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Can I say, so I just recently watched Cars 3.
Yeah, sure.
It's a very fine movie with wonderful voice acting, many moments in which tears were brought to my eyes. Beautiful movie. But it does introduce the concept of new models of cars, which I find deeply troubling as an analog comparison to people.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
The idea, I wouldn't look at BB and be like, this is the new model. Ah, so much sleeker and better. Like, huh.
The shitty thing is when you have to say that when you have a second kid, and then you have to say that to your first kid.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. This is the new souped up version of you. If you were an iPhone, I would have traded you in already for this one. So
this is baby X.
This is baby X, the most powerful baby with the best camera ever. And if I charge this baby, she's good all day.
Yeah. There is.
Don't worry about cloud saves with this one. You can talk all day about how do they have sex, how do the cars have sex.
And I will.
The better question I want to ask is this. Why do they shit? There are so many scenes in the Cars franchise where Lightning McQueen says, I have to go take a shit. Yeah. And everyone... There are long sequences in every one of these fucking movies where they're like, where's Lightning? And he's like, I'm in the can. And it's like pointless. It doesn't do the story forward. Why was it so important to John Lasseter that the car shit so many times?
I mean, what's weird is that there are no scenes of Tomator shitting. And because they went to Larry and they were like, okay, Larry, so in this scene, you're going to... and he's like, what are you saying? And they're like, in this scene, your character Tomator is going to take a big shit. And then he says, no, I'm sorry. I won't be,
That is lowbrow humor.
And it's sort of off my brand. So,
I played Hamlet at Cambridge.
So, you will remove this scene or else I, will not,
I am a Nobel Prize winner, sir.
I will, if you do not remove the scene, I will not be getting it done. So.
I will remove your license to use my recorded voice in the Cars branded electric toothbrush that says, go for it, Pilgrim, brush those fuckers. I'll make you remove. Stop brushing, you're going to get gingivitis. And I'll remove that, too. You will not be able to use either of those sound samples.
And if I might suggest a few cuts... There is a lot of shitting scenes already.
So many.
Not just my character, but it seems everyone, this whole movie, is shitting.
I could suggest maybe a rewrite. Yeah, let me get in the studio. Okay, are we rolling? Okay.
I forgot how to dookie.
So you can just use that and then it explains it all away.
I've forgotten all my everything I knew from when I was a human.
We were all cursed memories now.
I don't remember I don't even remember what my wife smelled like. I only remember how my engine revs. I'm broken. This is worse than hell. I can't remember my daughter's face. Yeah, first place, I win. I win the big race.
Get her finished.
Get her finished. Get her finished. What was my favorite food? I don't remember how I ate. Anyway, polish my muffler, or what the fuck?
Now we are all cars.
We're all of us cars.
We have become cars, destroyer worlds.
Black Mirror, season 5, starring Larold the Cable Guy. Catch it.
Larold. I have no mouth, but I must vroom, partner.
I think the cars could have kids. If Lightning McQueen and another character wanted to have a kid, they would just sort of, I think Lightning McQueen could pop off a headlight, and I think, you know, another car could, like, drop a tire, and then somebody would have to build a car using those two components.
They should have a scene where, like, he pops off a headlight, and another car pops off a tire, and they, like, try to figure out what to do with it then. Like, they dig a hole and bury it. Like, is this gonna be a kid? We don't know what we're doing, but all the humans are dead.
I love this sequel of Children of Men we're creating in this Cars world where no one can have kids and they have to figure out a way. Now, granted, I have not seen Children of Men, but I have seen Cars many times.
Damn, Trav, have you seen any movies?
No, just Cars.
All right, yeah.
Here's the thing, okay? Can I tell you the thing that threw me about Cars? Okay, you ready for this? The cars are cars, yes, of course. The planes, the helicopters, they also have faces. They are also living vehicles. But the tiny bugs we see, they are cars.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Wait, what?
Yeah, they're just having fun with it.
How about another question? Because of an unfortunate turn of events, I am changing high schools to one with less than 100 kids. I was wondering, how do I become the coolest kid in school? Because of the low numbers, there's a chance for me to be the coolest kid in school. Thanks for the advice to making it happen in Massachusetts. I love that it's not just like, I know this sounds aspirational, but I've run the numbers, and it is feasible for me to become the coolest kid in school.
The problem is, at this point, I literally have no concept of what constitutes cool. I was going to say in school, but like really at all.
Just generally speaking.
Yeah.
I have no answer to this. I'm at a no. Travis McElroy, do you have an answer to this?
I'm a no.
Griffin McElroy, do you have an answer to this?
I mean, tech decks, but if not tech decks, then no.
All right, I'm going to bring in a super special guest expert to help us answer this question. Elsie Fisher, star of the film Eighth Grade, now in theaters everywhere. Elsie, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Elsie, I'm going to bounce this off you and let me know if it sticks. Tech decks, are they still hot or not with sort of the 13 to 18 age bracket?
Oh, they're very hot. They are very hot.
Wait, God.
Really?
I'm not even joking, though. They are very hot.
You have to be joking.
No, now you're joking.
I'm not at all. I've had plenty of children in my classes get their tech decks revoked.
I thought, okay, it's I can't tell if you're messing with Elsie.
I'm genuinely not. I'm genuinely not, I swear. They're very high. Yeah.
Wow, my collection still has value then. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah, it's probably doubled.
Is this how, like, sort of the statistics of high school popularity, is that even how it works? Or I guess in any sort of primary school level of popularity, if you clock in a school with 100 kids in it, are you more likely, or is it just if you're super cool, it doesn't matter what the size of the school is, you're going to reign supreme?
I don't know. I mean, I think numbers can make a difference if it is a smaller school because there are just less options to pick from. Ooh. So you have to do less to be cool.
Yeah. Okay. Can I make a suggestion? And we'll see if this plays, right? Think of it. I've been watching a lot of Cars, the movie Cars. Think of it like a racetrack, right? You don't have to go from bottom to beating the first person. You just have to pass everyone along the way. So you need to find the 99th coolest person in school, pass
and
them.
And beat them up.
Right. Well,
wow. All right.
Okay, fine. I get it.
You've listened to the show before, I thought, and we don't usually sort of endorse, you know, jumping people to become cooler than them.
But that's Hollywood.
Not since the, like, double digit episodes, at least.
Elsie, I want to hit you with this theory, though. I understand what you're saying about the numbers are better. Let me alternate, though. Isn't it more statistically likely that you could be the least popular child in your school. Like, if if you think of your kid came back and they were like, I'm the least popular kid in school, like, oh, there's like 1,000 kids that go to that school. No way you're the least popular one. My kid came back and they're like, I'm the least popular one. Out of 100? Maybe. I don't know. It's possible.
I think it is a risk you have to take if you go to a school of that size and you're on a quest to become the coolest. I think it's too easy to become the coolest if there's just 100 kids. So there needs to be a bad side, you know?
Yeah. The danger.
We found a school, right? And you know how there are schools for like, we take only the best and brightest, you know, send us the smartest.
Yes.
But like, there's 100 kids. They were all the coolest kids at their 100 schools. Right. And we have brought this. This is cool school. It's only for the coolest kids. They're not even smart or whatever.
That's just cool. You're literally describing the plot of like 14 different animes right now. I think the opportunity that we're missing here is not the size of the student body. It is that you are a new student at this school. You are changing schools. You are brand new. And that is that's your ticket. I think the like new student mystique is going to penetrate a lot farther with a 100 person student body because everybody there is going to know there's a new student in town and their dad invented tech decks.
Because here's the thing. What you want is you want a cool lie about yourself that makes yourself more interesting that is not easily Googleable.
Yeah. I have 2 vapes.
Yeah, right.
Just say that.
That was not a response to your question, Travis. That was Elsie just letting everybody know how many vapes she personally has.
Yes. Yeah.
I like that it's 2.
It's my vape for me and then my vape for you, my friend.
That's so sweet.
What's your movie about, Elsie, so people can go see it and will want to go see it?
It's about 8th graders, and it's about a girl trying to live her life, and maybe that is weird. And maybe your life is weird, so maybe you'll like it.
I've struggled a lot since I've been sort of following this movie in the trades with spelling the word 8th. Boy, it's a tricky one. There's a lot of G's, H's, and T's in that one. There's like 3 of each, and I can never really remember how to assemble it correctly.
E. I-G-H-T-H.
That double H even sounds weird.
Yeah, you don't even know where that's coming from.
No, it does. But it's not 8th grade. It's 8th grade.
Could you change it to 8th grade? Is it too late?
I think it's too late. It's already hit theaters, my friend.
I'm assuming by the title this is a horror film, right?
Oh, yes.
My experience in 8th grade, I don't think they could come up with a scarier name for a film.
When I was in 8th grade, I had a tooth come loose and I went to the bathroom and pulled it out. And it was like the first or second day of 8th grade. And I was on a new floor in 8th grade at Camac. You were on the first floor. And so I went to the bathroom. I was looking in the mirror, pulled the tooth out, and a door to one of the bathroom stalls opened behind me. And a woman did come out because I was in the women's restroom and I didn't know because I was new to the floor. And they saw me pulling a tooth out of my fucking head. So like I was done pretty much after that.
I literally can't remember anything about 8th grade, which makes me think it was incredibly terrible. Maybe my 8th grade experience was just an alien abduction and I've just like replaced those memories. I don't know.
In my 8th grade year, I was a furry, and I know this because there are many photos of it.
Many photos of you like caught like drawing furry culture?
No, like I used to wear ears and a tail to school.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's radical. We love furries.
We fully support that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm so used to this furry discrimination in my real life.
You come to the right place. We are, I would say, reckless in our support of furries.
That's character development right there.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for finally heaping the praise on us that our dad continues to withhold. Elsie Fisher, 8th grade is in theaters now. People can go see it, even if they can't spell it. And I think everybody should go do that, don't you?
Are you asking Elsie?
I'm asking Elsie.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Please go see it.
Elsie Fisher, thank you for attending our program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
What a natural way to phrase
what
that.
What a good person way of saying that human statement. Elsie, we appreciate your guidance. Everybody go see 8th grade in the theaters now. But for the moment, we don't have big Hollywood dreams. We got to earn our money the old-fashioned way. Podcast
advertising. Yeah, talking about sponsors for e-savvy companies on the internet.
Let's go to the Money Zone.
Can I tell you all about Casper?
Yep. Yeah, I guess.
Okay, great. So we travel a lot. We do a lot of tours. I go to a lot of conventions and stuff. And there is nothing like sleeping on a shitty hotel bed to make me miss, I'm going to say it, my best friend, my Casper mattress.
Yeah, a lot of these hotels use mattresses from Bastard, which is the mm-hmm. evil Casper, and they are not soft. They come in a box that's bigger than the mattress, and they deflate, and they're not soft, and they're not made out of soft materials. And so I hate Bastard. I love Casper.
Bastard uses like 8 middlemen, and yep. so it just really jacks up the price, where Casper uses no middleman, so it like decreases the price. And Bastard's like, we can make our mattresses more expensive. Yeah. So Casper combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep service with the right amount of both sink and bounce. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. And right now, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting Casper.com, that's Casper.com/mybrother, and use the promo code MYBROTHER, all one word, at checkout. Terms and conditions apply.
Juice, tell me about Quip, because I know that you like to have them in there.
Yeah, if you have nasty teeth, or a nasty mouth even, like wherever you're nasty up there, Quip is a great, great way to finally kind of get things in order up there. It's a new electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes and packs premium vibrations for a perfect 2-minute clean. You know, I used to use a electric toothbrush from one of the big brands, and it took up like a bunch of space on my counter in my bathroom, and very inconvenient. Quip is great because it has this like little caddy basically that has a sticky strip on it that you can basically stick anywhere, get it out of the way, and your toothbrush just hangs out there. And when you're going on a trip or whatever, you just flip the Quip over and put it back into the container, and then it's like a travel case.
Just flip the Quip.
I always say it. And Quip has it pulses every 30 seconds to let you know, like, brush a different part of your mouth, and then at 2 minutes, I think it's like a different pulse to let you know, like, you finally did it, believe it or not. It also helps fix the problem of remembering to change your toothbrush when it's time, because every 3 months, they ship you a new one for just $5. So, and it's actually very satisfying, because they use the old brush head right before you throw it away. You use that to clean the like inside of the brush. I find it immensely satisfying. And then you throw it away and it's all perfectly clean and spotless and everything. But Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/mybrother right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's getquip, getquip.com/mybrother. Catch it.
Catch the wave. I want to tell you all about this next Jumbotron, because yeah, I'm really excited about it. It was sent in by Nick Palumbo for my dearest Andrea, who says, since introducing you to the McElroy, I'm done. I quit. If you can't even get the name right, I'm walking.
Nick
Alyss. Let me fix your doo doo mess here, Nick. Anyway, since introducing you to the McElroy family of products, Nick.
It might be an inside joke, Griffin. Okay. Maybe it is like their funny joke where they disrespect
our whole honor.
Our brand.
Since introducing you to the McElroy family of products, Nick. I can't get past this first sentence, guys. It's just a bit doo-doo mess. But since introducing the McElroy family of products was the second smartest thing I did in December 2015, asking you out was the first, I figured it's fitting for me to use them to wish you a happy birthday. Happy birthday. I love you so much, and I can't wait to marry the fuck out of you this August. Yours forever and always, Nick.
You say his name right? You should say yours and forever, McKick.
Yeah, Ken, which is Nick backwards.
But, burn him.
They won't, they, Now, they did want this message March 5th, and it is August, which is when the wedding is going to happen. So hopefully we're getting in before the wedding so I can let you all know. I hope many happy returns and many more.
Listen, we all made some mistakes. You know what
we
I
all,
mean?
We all make some mistakes, and I'm really not mad about it. Congratulations on your love, and happy birthday a long time ago.
This message is for Aubrey, and it's from Matt. Was so excited to get a Jumbotron that I didn't plan anything specific to say, other than I love you, and I hope this message from those good, good boys, the McElroys, brightens your day. Can't wait to be home with you and the Snuggle Boys, planning our next adventure. Always remain on the smooth tip, and always keep it digital. Love, Matt, Max, and Henry. Now, I don't know who the Snuggle Boys are,
yeah,
but it sounds like the best, and maybe also creepiest, kind of like henchmen I've ever heard of. Yeah, me and the Snuggle Boys have to come around and show you who's boss.
You think it's an ironic name? You think they're like, you know, knife enthusiasts? But they call themselves the Snuggle Boys, kind of like the Wet Bandits. And it sounds like a harmless name, but really they did try to kill a kid.
Yeah.
So, Justin, you want to read this last one?
Absolutely. This is a message from Caroline, and it's for Joe. And it says, "Hey, Joe, a message to my favorite boy from your fave boys. You told me not to spend my money on this, but despite having an econ degree, I'm terrible with money." Fine. Hope you have a great 24th birthday and that all your magical dreams come true. You're an awesome photographer, guitarist, and bro. Love, your middleest sister. And that birthday did go ahead and pop off a little early this year on May 9th, so we are hoping Joe's still in kind of the celebratory mood. Just a quick cue.
Hello, I'm Oliver Wong, DJ, scholar, and journalist.
And I'm Morgan Rhodes, music supervisor and stiletto devotee. And we host Heat Rocks, a podcast where we invite our favorite musicians, writers, and scholars to talk about the albums that have changed their lives.
Morgan, what exactly is a Heat Rock?
It's a record that's like hot fire, combustible.
Basically, just a really, really good album.
We've taken a deep dive into Nigerian funk from the 70s.
He kind of had like a bad reputation in town as just being like a sketchy dude. And he was just making music that for thousands of miles around him, he was the only person doing anything like that.
1980s teen comedy soundtracks.
This soundtrack always felt the same to me as like when I would find a great blazer at a thrift store that I was like, oh, this is going to be me now.
We've talked about Prince, Boys to Men, Kendrick Lamar, and everything in between. Heat Rocks every Thursday here on Maximum Fun.
Oh,
got a $100 watch here. It's fresh, fresh. I'm seeing more people that are not willing to weave the fiction selling a haunted doll would normally require.
What the fuck are they doing? That's the whole thing. That's like the whole...
It's a doll, whatever.
But I have, as an artist, we must, and our source material changes, you know, the just if you're an artist who prides themselves in their autumnal photography, when winter does eventually come, you have to find a way to adapt and apply those skills to the fallen leaves and the frost covered branches, and in much the same way I have done this thing, I do want to show you all the it's not that. Let me share my screen real fast so you can see.
There we go. There. Oh, whoa! Fucking holy shit, Justin!
Look deep into its eyes, guys.
No,
so this is like.
Could you not?
It looks like. Okay, this doll.
No.
The subject line is just... Okay, I need to stop sharing my screen. Hold on.
Yes, please.
The subject line on this doll is just haunted doll, negative spirit. That's it. That's all you get. The doll itself looks like a baby version of Gene Hackman from Superman.
Yes.
It's, again, it's like creepy, but in a little bit of a lazy way. It looks like a doctored haunted doll. The starting bid, and there's zero of them, is $1. And it ends in 3 days, so it will have expired by the time you get this. So there's just kind of the eBay user Herma McDon, maybe, put this description up, and it just says this: upon receiving this negative spirit, my cat died.
What?
Upon receiving this negative spirit, my cat died as I was getting ready to go get Fletcher from the mailbox. That is the name of this doll, by the way. It is great because what is great about this is one of this is like, I want to take you inside a little bit now. One of the pictures of this doll is the eBay listing from the time this person bought this doll.
But so there.
So it says haunted doll, Fletcher, terrifying negative spirit, must go now.
This will kill cats.
Will kill cats
from distance.
This person bought this and is like, oh, actually, no way. No fucking way. This sucks. My cat died when I was going to pick up this doll. You were right. I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was fucking with. So they're trying to get it out in a hurry. I said, upon receiving this negative spirit, my cat died as I was getting ready to go get Fletcher from the mailbox. Days later, washer broke. And
you're putting that on the same level?
I'm going to read you one sentence.
I love that washer.
I'm going to finish a sentence. So the cat did die. This is one sentence. Days later, washer broke and car accident, hitting a tree. My stepson.
Oh my God. How are we ranking these things days by later, including them in the same breath?
Days later. Hey, so how's your life going? It's been kind of a wild few days. I got a creepy doll and my cat died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. Oh, and my washer broke.
Well, that's more of a mild annoyance. I don't know.
And also a car accident hitting a tree, my stepson.
Yeah, I don't really know what that you were driving your stepson as if he was some sort of turbo teen into a tree?
Or it kind of sounds like you hit a tree and then went on to hit your stepson.
It's a small tree. A small tree, but a big son. And I went through the first and rammed right into the second.
Hit my sturdy stepson.
My sturdy stepson and fucked up the tree. Son was fine. I think tree caught most of the momentum of it.
Son was annoyed.
Yeah. I just want my money back and peace of mind back. It's like they don't want to be haunted by the negative spirit anymore, but they are going to go ahead and get a return on the investment. They're going to get the ROI. And yes, I did buy this negative spirit on eBay. Well, okay. So you've owned up to it at least. That's something. I do collect other paranormal dolls, but this one carries death with it. Any questions, please ask.
A dollar.
Good luck. I've seen enough. That's the last sentence. Good luck. I've seen enough. I do collect other paranormal dolls, but this one carries death with it. Any questions, please ask. I don't have any fucking questions. I think you summed it up pretty good with it carries death with it. I think that's actually everything I needed to know.
This is a first. This is the first time I've ever actually been even remotely scared by one of these things,
because this
description, this is, Justin's not kidding, that's the end of it. The lack of sort of a three-act narrative structure to this, as is usually the case in these sales pitches, and sort of the last couple sentiments that they include in there really sort of drives home the fiction that this is a person who has bought and sold haunted dolls and we have a lot of fun here, folks, but this one is really full of death. So I'm going to need this off my hands. It's somebody like breaking kayfabe for a minute. Like, listen, I know I talked about like, oh, he was
right.
A doll.
We
and he died
a lot of fun out here.
But my cat did die. I ran over a tree and my son and that washer.
I don't even have time to formulate a good sentence. Yeah, I need this thing out.
It's fun talking about like Stephanie and she can make orbs and she changes the radio to the station she was listening to when she died in the car accident at prom night. Like, that's fun. This one killed my cat and broke my washer and did a car accident with my stepson into a tree, I guess.
Who I love.
I love very much.
So. I love him so much. This has been a bad... Yeah, I just need this fucking doll. You are going to have to pay me for it, though. But.
And the fact that it is $1, I'm not... Like, I'm a little bit scared of this. I do have some fear.
You want it? I'll get it for you.
No, I super, super don't. No, I don't want it. You're buying it right now, aren't you?
No, I'm respecting you. I'm old enough now. I've been around the block enough times to know.
How about another question?
Well, can I ask you guys a question?
Sure. This is not really the format, but okay.
You're right. Okay. Mini Man Scud Thumper, maker of wood, worn wood, shrub ruster, sky mocker, rave, portly pusher, wind slave. What am I?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, we're back.
Riddle me this, boys.
Yeah, we're sure. We need a stinger or something for the riddles.
What am I?
A kite.
No, dummy.
A balloon.
Stop being so dumb. Justin?
I wanted to mention our friend Adolfi, who plays Chunt on Hello from the Magic Tavern, started this great podcast called Hey Riddle Riddle. It's a great show where he and two other great improv comedians solve lateral thinking puzzles, and it's very fun. If you like riddles, you should check that show out. If you hate riddles, welcome to our great segment.
Hey, Riddle Riddle.
No, no wait. I don't riddle, think we should still.
Can I get you with Riddle Me Piss?
Okay, Riddle Me Piss. That's excellent. Okay. So, Travis.
Mini Man Scud Thumper, maker of worn wood, shrub ruster.
Can you, can you say the word comma? Can you just say the word comma?
Yes. Mini Man Scud Thumper, comma, maker of worn wood, comma, shrub ruster, comma, sky mocker, comma, rave, exclamation point. Portly
pusher. What's
the last one?
What's that one? What's that one? What's that one?
Rave?
Rave is just the one?
Rave, exclamation point. Portly pusher, comma, wind slave, that's hyphenated, period. What am I?
It's not a kite.
We've established it's not a kite.
I mean, but most of those things you said aren't fucking words, so that feels like a bad thing to have in a riddle.
I'm just going to tell you now.
Okay.
It's the ocean, I guess.
Does it say that?
Holy shit, Travis.
That's the answer. I know. Hickory dickory dock. The mouse ran up the clock. The clock struck one, then down did come. Hickory dickory dock. What am I?
A mouse?
No, dumb shit.
What is it?
The guillotine.
All right. We got one sent to us actually by Matthew McGreevy. Thanks, Matt. This is the riddle. You go into the woods to get it. Then you sit down to find it. Then you go home because you couldn't find it.
I have no idea.
Fish?
You go into the woods to get fish. Then you sit down to find fish. Then you go home because you couldn't find fish. Maybe. Maybe.
A place to sit.
No, the answer is a splinter.
What?
Yeah, you go into the woods to get a splinter. And then you sit down to find the splinter. Then you go home because you couldn't find this. I can't find this fucking thing. I'm going home.
Okay, here's a good one from riddles.com. You don't see me unless you heat me. You don't smell me unless you make me. You don't know I'm here until it's too late. I have seen countless generations, and light parchment always magnifies my presence. What am I?
What?
It's just like they were trying to write something. They got halfway through and they're like, this is fucking nothing. I just want this riddle to be over with. I'm gonna read it again. You don't see me unless you heat me. You don't smell me unless you make me. You don't know I'm here until it's too late. I have seen countless generations, and light parchment always magnifies my presence. What am I?
I don't know.
It's invisible ink, but like, what the fuck?
Wait, that's it?
It's just invisible ink is the thing in this one. What the actual shit?
I love this one because I'll just read it. I run, it runs. I stop, it runs. What it?
I'm imagining like a wizard sitting on top of a mountain, and I've climbed the mountain, and I've come to get his orb because it's the only thing that will heal my wife. And I fought many sort of, skeletons along the way, but I've made it finally to the top of the wizard's mountain. And then he says, I run, it runs. I stop, it runs. What it? Ah, fuck. I fucked it up. Man, you came a long way from my orb, and I fucked up the riddle. Just take the orb.
What it?
A car?
Nope.
My heart?
Nope. Okay, let me. I want to read them all together. I'll read you the clues to the answer. I run, it runs. I stop, it runs. My watch.
My watch.
My watch.
All right. I think the rule of fives has carried us to the end of the riddle segment.
Hey, this is the end of Riddle Me Piss. I just want to say real quick before we go, what is the best thing about Switzerland?
Okay.
What's the best thing about Switzerland?
I don't know. Just... What?
Hey, it's a riddle. What's the best thing about Switzerland?
Chocolate.
The mountains are beautiful. There's skiing. There's a lot of alpine sort of activities.
I don't know, but the flag's a big plus.
Wait, is that on riddles.com?
That's for riddles.com.
And it's okay, like, what's the rating?
It's actually just a joke. So it's not technically a riddle, so they still fucked it up.
Should we do it? We've done one question and one Yahoo, and that doesn't seem great.
Eight riddles, because this show loves riddles now.
We're a riddle podcast
This
now.
Is a riddle podcast.
Podcast for riddlers.
The only fun thing on earth is riddles, and I love riddles.
I have a good Yahoo. Y'all want to hear it real quick?
Sure, yes.
This is sent in by Emily Mercurio. Thank you. It's from Yahoo Answers user Raven Hill asks, how to get over losing important JPEG pictures on your PC? Years ago, I had some really cool pictures I got from some website in 2012. I can't remember if the pictures were on my Windows 7 laptop or my Windows 7 desktop PC or even my old Windows XP desktop, which crashed and broke. But I've checked my laptop and Windows 7 PC, and these cool pictures of demons are not on either. I'm not sure what happened to the pictures because I have so many files and pictures, but I put it down that they are likely lost forever. I can't remember what website I got the pictures from either, and the website's probably not around now. How do I get over this? I love art and pictures from the net.
Okay, one more time.
I'm not going to read all that again, Juice, but the pictures that I had on my PCs, there were some cool pictures of demons that I downloaded from the net. And
some glossy demon JPEGs.
And I don't know where those went. I had some cool demon pictures. I had a bunch of very, very cool skeleton pictures with guns. And then I had a few pictures of some of my favorite Matrix characters. And they're not on my PC anymore. And I don't even remember where I got them off the net. So how do I
feel bad for this person? Because you could come onto my PC and delete like 23 to 27 of my pictures of Matrix characters. And I wouldn't even notice. Because I have so many saved already. My friend Dylan has a 56K, and he downloaded it all for me for about $4. You can put them on a disc.
What I do is I'll save like Neo, and then also like Neo 1, Neo 2, and just save the same JPEG a couple times just in case.
You have to.
Have some backups in there, so it's like just try to delete all of my Neos. You won't even find them all because some of them I named Morpheus.
So I have a cloud account that I upload most of my Matrix stuff to, and I feel guilty about that because it feels kind of counter to what the Matrix guys were all about. Which is like
all the Matrix characters, like if Morpheus found out you did this, Morpheus would be like, oh.
Yeah, I put pictures of him on the cloud. It's like if I was in the Matrix and I, you know, was on the cool sewer ships that they were on because I got real, I would be like, I hate the cloud. So I have that, and then I have one just to be safe, like a flash drive, but it's a big one. It's like 300 megabytes or something, and it's full of like JPEGs that I downloaded off the internet in the early 2000s. And I put that in a sort of Faraday cage in my garage just in case, like if there is the big one, then the pictures will, I could still look at them on, I'm not going to be able to look at them on my computers because it's going to get, you know, fried up by the big one. But the good news about the big ones, it's going to kill all the AI. Yeah.
Can you imagine anything that would make you happier than being at your local library and seeing someone sitting at a computer scrolling through the Google image search results for cool pictures from the Matrix and just like, yep, good one. You're coming home with me.
How much is it to print each one out?
Oh, yeah, shoot. That's fine. Like
10 cents. Okay.
Just hand him a credit card, like keep it running.
I'm going to be...
Open a tab.
Open a tab. We're going to be... I'm going to be printing out a lot of these bad boys.
Do you have three hole punch?
Okay, thank you.
Can you keep a secret? Don't tell anybody how many of these I'm about to print out, because it's going to be absolutely ludicrous.
If word gets out, I'll never be able to show my face in city council again.
Just frame them. Just frame them.
Yeah, it was a 2-for-1 at Michael's. Yeah, I just had them all taken care of.
This one's kind of my pride and joy. They've cut the pictures in the shape of the letters MATTRIX, and they've cut the photos out like that. And I did have a talk with them about the spelling thing, because that is hugely embarrassing for me. I can't even have my nephews over, because they make such terrible fun of me for my misspelled matrix collage. But I do want to, I want them to be proud of me. I wanted to be proud of their uncle, but I'm so embarrassed, but not so embarrassed that I won't display it in my home, because it is a treasure. I did pay to have those printed out at the library, so.
I'm thinking of changing my name to Matt, just so it makes a little more sense.
Right.
Then people will at least be like, oh, it's a thing, but you didn't used to be Matt, and I'll say, or maybe it's a glitch in the Matrix.
Matrix.
And we'll have a good laugh. Anyways, that's why I didn't see that parking meter, and I didn't pay it. Please, cancel this ticket or whatever you need to do.
I know I haven't seen the Matrix movies.
At this point, I feel like I have, though. You understand, Your Honor?
I got a lot of collectible stuff from, like, McDonald's and such, and at this point, I've pretty much pieced it together.
Quick side story. When I was in seventh grade, I was in our middle school library where I did spend most of my lunches. And the story's not going to be sad the whole way through, but just sort of during this part of it. And you know what? It might be sad the whole way through, depending on how you look at it. But I did print out a GameFAQs walkthrough for Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Yes.
And I didn't realize when I did that, that it was going to be about 290 pages long.
Holy and, shit. This is giving me such strength.
I got in a lot of trouble, and I was sort of a volunteer at the middle school library, and I was not invited back the following year because I did get a stern talking to, because this is not a good heist, because it was a dot matrix printer.
Oh, and so God, that's just that grueling.
So that was
noise.
Like 2 days.
Yeah, it was a good long time. I did not get the full print going. I think I got about 60 pages in before the librarian came over. Like, you've been printing for a long. What's a Cubone? And I was like,
exactly. Folks, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Trav, did you have some things you wanted to talk about real quick? I know the big thing.
Yeah, let's start with that.
Yeah.
So a lot of announcements, but all of these, at least all of like the dates of appearances and stuff, that's all going to be on mcroyshows.com/tours. So I'm going to move through it pretty quick. But the big announcement is at the end of September, September 26th through the 28th, we are coming to Seattle and Portland. On September 26th, we're coming to Seattle with my brother and me. September 27th, it's the Adventure Zone, both of those at the Paramount Theater. And then on September 28th, we're going to be in Portland at the Schnitzer Concert Hall with my brother and me. Those are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. local time, so it'll be 10 a.m. local to Seattle and Portland. On sale Friday the 17th
Pacific.
At 10 a.m.
It's Pacific time.
Yeah, Pacific time, 10 a.m. Pacific. I'm just reading the thing. So you'll have some time to get ready. So we have a couple days, but this Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific. Now I'm going to run through these really quick. So Dad and I are going to be in Lexington, Kentucky this Saturday the 18th at 2 p.m. at Joseph Beth Booksellers to sign copies of the Adventure Zone graphic novel.
That'll be the day after my vasectomy, so make sure to ask both of them how it went.
We are doing the tour at the end of the month in Orlando in August. Orlando and Atlanta, so make sure you send in your questions. And then while I'm there, I'm going to be doing some stuff at Dragon Con. I've already announced the photo sessions, and I'm also doing some other stuff that we haven't nailed down yet, but I'll be at Dragon Con. Schmanners is going to be at the London Podcast Festival September 8th. You can get tickets for that on mcroyshows.com/tours. And also Schmanners and friends. We're inviting a lot of cool people to join us at the show, are going to be at New York Comic Con October 6th. Like I said, all of those links, macroyshows.com/tours. Also, the Adventure Zone graphic novel is on sale now, theadventurezonecomic.com, or at any fine bookseller. If you've already read it, go buy 6 more copies, or just like tell your friends. And the Sawbones book is available for pre-order on Amazon. Go pre-order it now.
Or go to bit.ly/thesawbonesbook.
PodCon, the Indiegogo, is going on now. We're going to be there, but it's full of amazing shows. You can go to bit.ly/McElroyPodCon2. Support the Indiegogo now. Help us fund it and bring out as many amazing people as we can.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's such a good album, and I really like it a lot. And all the Long Winters albums are really dope, but this is the only one that has our theme song on it. I also want to thank Max Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows there, shows like Bubble and Bullseye and any other ones that start with B, Beef and Dairy Network. That was fun. There's a lot of shows on there, so many that you can do like alliteration.
There's Brenly Byer.
Brenly Byer is great. Yeah, all at MaximumFun.org. And if you want to hear other stuff we do, it's at McElroyShows.com.
All right.
You want that final?
You know I do.
Yeah, sure. This one was sent in by Mike Eckert. Thanks, Mike. It's Yahoo Answers user Essex asks, in all caps,
what kind of milk do chess player drink?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hey, have you checked out the Max Fun Store recently? If you head to maxfunstore.com now, you'll see a bunch of cool new stuff in there, along with your old favorites. We've got a colorful retro-inspired bubble shirt, plus stickers, buttons, and a poster. Reading Glasses fans will love their new library book-inspired shirt. And if you're a fan of beef, check back Friday for the debut of our Beef and Dairy Network merch. We've got all that and more from a ton of Max Fun shows. There's even a Rocket logo skateboard deck there. So go click around, see what we've got in stock, and buy yourself something fun at maxfunstore.com.